Right, that should be us live. We are live. Welcome if you're just joining us. Hallelujah. Has the ventilation just been shut? It's freezing. Hallelujah. Yeah. I'll be fine. Awesome. Good to see you if you're joining us live. We just had some awesome worship. That was great. So now we're going to look at the Word. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you so much for this morning. I thank you that we're able to come into this place and bring our worship to you, Father. Thank you for that word Nancy gave us at the end. Thank you, Father, that you are listening with pleasure this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you that you are a loving God, wanting relationship. And thank you that, not by our actions, but thank you that we please you, Father, through the finished work of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, thank you for your word, Lord. Thank you for these seeds we're about to plant. Thank you for the reminder that Carol gave us this morning of the importance of your word, that cord, that rope to hang on to. Keep us connected to you. Hallelujah. So thank you for the seeds we're about to plant. Thank you for the hearts that these seeds are about to be scattered into. And we speak our understanding in Jesus' name. Understanding so his seeds will not be stolen. Understanding so his seeds will grow and produce fruit. In the precious name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Awesome. Hallelujah. I completed my Compassion series last week. And I'm kind of starting a new series of sermons, but they're kind of similar because they're kind of round of how we're going to keep increasing our compassion. So I'm looking forward to this. It has been a frustrating week. Wonderful week in the Word and meditation, but frustrating. And I just don't know if I'm going to be able to get across what I want to say. So apologies in advance if this is not the fantastic teaching that you're used to, Sean. That you were talking about this morning, but I'm hoping it'll be thoughtful and it'll get you thinking as well. Last week I finished my final sermon on compassion with a challenge from 1 John 3:17. But whoso hath this world's good, that is, has resources, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him. Don't you just love King James? I love the King James Version. He could have just said, and are not compassionate. But no. Shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him. I love that. If that's happening, he then gives us a challenge. How dwelleth the love of God in him? Remember, that was kind of saying, if we have the resources, which I think we all have in the West, if we see a brother in need and we're not compassionate, does the love of God dwell within us? That spoke to me of dwelling being an understanding, a knowledge of, a deep, deep revelation. We call that epinosis. We know that here. And I think much of the time in our Christian walks, we have gnosis. And I know that's true for me. Thank you for the one or two nods. We have gnosis. That's head knowledge. I've explained this before. I could get a book about car repairs and read it and have head knowledge. But if I was you, I wouldn't let me loose on your car. If I was you, I wouldn't let me take the head gasket off. I wouldn't even know where to find the head gasket. You know, but I could read about it. I could write an exam on it. But I wouldn't have epinosis. I wouldn't know how to take that car apart, put it together again. That's the difference between gnosis and epinosis. I think a lot of the time we have gnosis about things of the Word. But what we found in our studies on compassion, the sermons on compassion, was if we want to express God's love, and that's what compassion is, if we want to express God's love, we need epinosis about God's love. So I suggested that if we finish the compassion series or not, maybe I should teach about God's love. And I've been meditating on that this week and loving it with my meditations. But then the thought of trying to teach that, it's just been really difficult. But we'll get there, we'll get there. Conclusion we came to last week was, if compassion is about expressing God's love, we need a deeper revelation of it. The more and more we understand about the love of God, the more and more we'll be compassionate. That's kind of what we... And I think we all agreed on that, didn't we? Yes, Vic. Did you hear that, folks? Yeah, they've all said yes. I think we did. Now, I think most of us would say, you know, I've been around church, Christian circles for a long time. I would, for me anyway. I know about God's love. Yeah, I don't. Don't you teach me about God's love, Vic? You know, I've been in a church for how many years? 30. 35. Any advance in 35? 37. 37. Lower, higher, lower. Anyway, you know, a lot of us have been around the church a long time. We know about God's love. Well, maybe we could learn some more. Anybody agree with that? Yeah. I think we could all learn. Get a little bit of a deeper revelation. Get to the next skin of the onion, you know, whichever metaphor you want to use, and that won't be a bad thing. But I'm going to start with some revision, basic revision first. You all know this, I hope. It's all verses I use every week, virtually, but I want to just set these scriptures out to show you why I'm going to be teaching on the love of God for us to express more compassion, okay? So Ephesians 1:3, what does that say? What does that talk about? Blessing. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. I would suggest that God's love is a part of spiritual blessings, yes? God's love is part of spiritual blessings. So we already have it. Yeah? We already have it. So why are we not compassionate all the time? If we already have it, why are we not always expressing it? Well, go to another one of my favourites, 2 Peter 1:3. Michelle, you were there already, weren't you? She was there already. That's funny. That is funny that people are at the next verse already. So 2 Peter 1:3 says, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Again, I would suggest that God's love is wrapped up in this life and godliness. So we already have it. What does the word say? Hath all things, past tense, we already have it. So if we have it, why are we not expressing it? Well, Paul doesn't explain that to us in Ephesians 1:3, but Peter does in 2 Peter 1:3. He goes on in this verse to tell us why. It's made manifest, comes into our lives through the knowledge of him. And who's the him? Who's called us to glory and virtue? Jesus Christ. So it's the knowledge of him. And if we're looking at the knowledge of Jesus, part of that knowledge has to be about God's love. Because that's why he came. He came as an expression of God's love. So if we increase our knowledge about him, we'll be increasing our knowledge about God's love. And then all these things pertaining to life and godliness will be made manifest. That's what Peter is saying. Which verse am I going to next then, Michelle? Philemon 6. I'm going to go to. Philemon 6, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Tie that up with John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Tie these two verses together. John 3:16 is obviously talking about the love of God. Obviously. It's that obvious. It starts with it. God so loved the world Again, that's why Jesus came. The whole nature, the whole mission, the whole thing about Jesus coming is everything about him is tied up with the love of God. It's all about the love of God. Philemon tells us it is acknowledging the good things in Jesus, of Jesus in us, including the love of God, that leads us to being effective in showing our faith. Being effective in showing our faith, I would suggest that's being loving and caring about your fellow man, therefore being compassionate. So it's all tied up. And that word, acknowledge, is of course epinosis. Full discernment, Strong says. Full discernment. But to me, it's deep heart experiential knowledge. Knowledge of Jesus. And through that knowledge of Jesus, the knowledge about the love of God. And that is what is key. That is why we're looking at the love of God. If we study about Jesus, study the Word, it's all about the love of God. And through that, through acknowledging that, we'll be more effective in our faith. We'll be more compassionate. Through that, we'll see all spiritual blessings made manifest in our lives. Through that, we'll see all things pertaining to life and godliness being made manifest. So it's all about knowledge, and it's all about understanding. Right, I'm going to try a wee exercise now. Okay, who am I going to pick on first? Pauline. Pauline, can you please give me a book about insects, a bottle of Ben Romer 21-year-old, and an A4 four-hole punch? Can you? Why not? Because you haven't got them. That's the correct answer. Now, if someone came to my house, because I happen to be writing this sermon, at my desk, I could see a book about insects, a bottle of 12-year-old Ben Romer, an A4 four-hole punch. I could give them to you. I wouldn't give you the whiskey. Is that what you're saying, Carol? Yeah, I could. I have the possibility. I have the ability to give you all those things. Yeah, you can have the book and the insects. I'm expressing God's love on that. You can have the four-hole punch, Pauline. But yeah, as Nancy said, I am shutting up the bowels of my compassion where my Ben Romer is. I can give you those because I'm in possession of them. I have them. I own them. They're mine. I know they're there. I can see where they're sitting on my on the shelves and my desk right now. Pauline was not in possession of them. Pauline couldn't give them to me because she doesn't have them. Okay, Sean, can you please teach me how to prepare ground for building a bridge, say over the River Lossie? Can you tell me what material I'd need? Can you tell me the groundworks I'd have to do? What kind of plans I'd have to do? How do you design it and how you go about building that bridge? You can't, can you? You can't.
No.
But Stuart could. Stuart could. Because that's his expertise. That's his job. He knows about that kind of stuff. He could share that with me. Yeah? Roy, can you teach me how to measure up for a Roman blind in a kitchen window? How to go about making it from the raw materials to the final product? How to hang it? How much it was going to cost? I doubt it. But Nancy could. Nancy could, that's her expertise. She knows that inside out. She could teach me that out of her knowledge. Because she knows that. Why did I tell you that? Well, what I'm going to tell you next is not deep theology. But it's really simple. But some of us just don't seem to be aware of these two principles. You cannot give away what you do not have.
Amen.
You cannot share what you do not know. Yeah. That's deep. Let me say it again for those of you taking notes. You get both of those, Michelle? You cannot give away what you do not have. You cannot share what you do not know. Hopefully this series of sermons is going to change some of that for all of us with regards to God's love. Because wouldn't it be great if we could express that just a little bit more? Actually, no. Wouldn't it be great if we could express that a whole lot more? But let's start with a little bit. Wouldn't it be great if everyone in this room was just that little bit more compassionate, that little bit more loving, that little bit more caring? Well, according to the Word, we've got a process for doing that. We get a deeper revelation, all of us, about God's love. Now, we're all on the road. Some of us would say, I know a lot about God's love. Well, you can still know. You don't know everything, do you? I could definitely do with learning a lot more. So we'll work on that together. Turn with me to Acts. Acts 3. I'll read from verse 1, but just so we get the whole context. Acts 3, verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, Look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Boy, did he receive something. Not what he expected. And then this next verse, I have to try and say it without bursting into song, because we all know the song, don't we? Then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with him into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Peter and John could not give him any money. Why couldn't they give him any money? Because they didn't have any. They couldn't give him what they didn't have. So they couldn't give him any money. But what they could give away was what they understood about Jesus Christ and his love for mankind. That he came to heal, that he came to make men whole, that he wanted this man to be healed, and he provided for his healing on the cross. They knew that. And what did they do? They gave it away. They possessed this knowledge about the Lord Jesus Christ, and they shared it. Peter had a revelation about the healing power of Jesus. He had epinosis. He'd had it explained to him. He'd seen it. He'd had the revelation. He'd had the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. He knew. He had epinosis about the healing power of Jesus Christ, and he shared it. That's what he shared with him. He knew it. He had it. He could share it. He gave it away. He could express that by leading the man to healing. See, I don't see Peter as actually healing the man here. Peter took him by the hand, lifted him up, and as the guy stood up, he was healed. Peter was sharing what he knew about Jesus Christ. Peter was giving away what he knew about Jesus Christ, and he led this man into healing. I think this is a perfect example of what we're going to be speaking about. Peter knew about the love of God. He knew about Jesus Christ. He knew about his healing power. He knew about the finished work of the cross. He had deep revelation knowledge about that. And through that, he led this man to his healing. That's what we're going to do. In my various roles, I teach a lot. I do a lot of teaching. Love it. I really do. In ministry, I teach from the Word. In business, I teach about barley. I teach about whiskey production, flavors. I also teach maths. I give good rates for maths tutorials. How good are the rates, Reggie? Yeah, very good rates for maths tutorials. And one thing I've learned on this journey of teaching is that in order to teach a topic, in order to share that topic, in order to give someone that knowledge of the Word, knowledge of whiskey, knowledge of maths, you need to know your topic inside out. You don't just need to know what you're going to deliver. You'll all, maybe most of you might have sat through presentations where the presenter just reads off the slide. I hate that. I can read. Just give me the presentation. What I want is after each slide to ask you an in-depth question, a question that really shows how you know your stuff and explains things more to me. You need to know more when you're teaching. You need to know as much as possible. You need to be ready and prepared for the questions that are going to come off your teaching, for example. You need to truly understand. You need to have a real grasp of that topic, to share it, to give it to others. When I'm teaching, I am, in a sense, giving out of what I know, sharing what I have. That's why we all need to know more about the love of God, because that's what I want us all to do. Express the love of God, share the love of God. And in this context, that's being compassionate, or what we've been studying recently. But it's also leading people to their healing, leading people to their salvation, giving counsel, helping, assisting. That can all be increased if we increase our knowledge, our epinosis about the love of God. The more I meditate on compassion, especially, and the more I meditate on the love of God, the more I see this rule that our compassion is related directly. It's in direct proportion to our understanding, our level of understanding of the love of God. We cannot express, or as Dave said on Thursday night, we cannot display the love of God if we don't know the love of God. And last week, we've agreed about it already, we saw that compassion is us expressing the love of God. You agreed, didn't you? That's about it. If we don't know the love of God, we cannot give it out. We cannot share it. We've had this conversation about a number of things. Mainstream sort of psychology and personality trait teachers and studies are telling us this now. You know, it's, if you've not been loved as a child, you find it very difficult to express love as an adult. If you've not received it, if you don't have it, if you've no knowledge of it, it's difficult to give out. I wouldn't let Sean loose on building a bridge over the Spey. Now, if Murray Council did that, they'd need their head examined. But I might employ Stuart. You know, we can't, you know, it would be an, sorry Sean, I'm picking on you, it would be an unmitigated disaster if Sean was left to build a bridge over the Spey. It would go over budget and, no, sorry Sean. You see where I'm getting, you see where I'm coming from. You can't share it if you don't know it. You can't build a bridge if you don't know how to build a bridge. People who have never received forgiveness find it difficult to forgive. Yeah, I love listening to and reading to a guy called Jordan Peterson. He's not everybody's cup of tea, but I noticed you started watching him, Sean. Yeah, I really like what he says, and he's saying these kind of things. You know, if you've not been loved, you can't love. If you've not forgiven, not been forgiven, you can't forgive. This is now mainstream. It's funny how mainstream catches up with the Bible. You know, it's all biblical truth. So mainstream now is telling us that as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he, in death and life are in the power of the tongue. They're not saying that, but that's what they mean. All these psychologists and philosophers, they're all saying that now. Anyway, get back to the script. You cannot give what you do not know. You cannot give what you do not have. You cannot share what you do not know. So why did I say that? Just to really hammer home that we need, as believers, we need to understand, have epinosis about the love of God. But from my meditations on the last week, this isn't easy. It's kind of, well, yeah, God's love of God. We throw out those phrases. Yeah, God loves me. Yeah, how much? What's he done to express it? Do you really understand it? And he really understood that. He wouldn't be doing that thing he did on Tuesday. You know, I'm not trying to condemn anyone. I'm talking about myself here. But if we had that deeper understanding, deeper knowledge, our lives would change for the better. Mind renewal, metamorphosis, all that. All that. But it's not easy. You see, we're human beings. Would you all agree? Yeah, everybody in here is a human being. If you're breathing, you're alive, you're a human being. God's love is nae like our love. And that makes it difficult to comprehend, difficult to understand. I think that's a problem. Too many of us as believers take the human love that we have experienced and transfer that onto the Father. Okay, that's how I received love from him, her, parents, friends, teachers, peers. Therefore, that's what God's love is like. No, we can't do that. That doesn't work. See, if we compare human love and take that to define the love of God, we'll see that there would be conditions on love. If we equate God's love to human love, God's love would be conditional. I think in 2 weeks' time, I'm going to look at scriptures that shows you God's love is unconditional. Amen. While you were yet sinners. We'll look at that verse. If we look at human love and put that onto God, that will say that we need to perform in order for God to love us. We need to be good. We need to do what our spouse tells us. We need to wash the dishes. We need to put the bins out when we're told. We need to not forget to water the plants when we said we would water them. And then you sit down with your spouse and just look over her shoulder and see the wilted flower. But you know what? I'll show you later. We don't have to perform to receive God's love. You have received it, you are receiving it, and you will receive it forevermore, irrespective of your performance. That'll be a good message. Now, I've been trying to meditate on this all week, and you know what, when I'm struggling with things, you know I go to the beach and the woods or whatever. So I've spent a lot of time at the beach this week, down at the river at Lossie. I was in the woods at Minocchi yesterday. I was up at, you know what, trying to get inspiration and close to the Lord. I even went to Pluskin Abbey and wandered around, you know, just being in that space. Because it's such a difficult, you might be sitting there thinking, well, I've got it, Vic. But for me, I have found this such a difficult concept to grasp. And then I've said, you really need to understand your subject before you teach it. I'm launching a series of sermons about the love of God. I'm kind of going against what I just said, because I'm really trying to learn as we're going along. Because I've been trying to think about the love of God, and it is mind-boggling. It just makes my mind just go... And I just can't get anywhere. Mind-boggling. And there's been a part of a verse that's been on my mind all week, trying to get my head around it, and I just can't. And it's 1 John 4. And I'm going to name my series on this, and then after I've talked to you about it today, I'm not going to mention it again. But 1 John 4, verse 7 says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him." That's an awesome passage. That's the gospel right there. Especially in verse 9. There's the gospel. There's loads of truths in that passage. But there's been one wee three-word phrase that's been going around in my head all week. God is love. What does that mean? I've been meditating on this all week. God is love. What does that mean? How can I explain it? How can I grasp it? How can I put it into words that I can write down? It's been really difficult. Struggling with this concept for days. Just couldn't kind of get anywhere. Trying to get the words to explain what God is love means. Because I can explain about God being loving. I can explain what he's done out of his love. I can explain about Jesus Christ coming. I can explain about creation. But how do you explain that God is love? So on Friday, I thought, I'm going to get some help. I thought, I'm going to open up a commentary. My favourite commentary. Because I always try and work on it myself. And then I'll have a look and see what other people are saying. I'll get some help. I'll get a steer on this. I'll look at Andrew Womack Ministries' Living Commentary. I don't know if some of you might have it. It's an amazing resource. It's wonderful. I'll get some help there. I'll get a steer there. Because this is the biblical tool that I use. Full of truths about the word. I thought, I'll get help there. So I went to 1 John 4 verse 8. And I clicked on the notes. And it said, there are many characteristics of God, but God is love. And I thought, thank you, Andrew. That was really helpful. Really, really helpful. And then I kind of thought, because I know we're not supposed to rank ourselves or compare ourselves to other Christians. I tell you not to do that. But I really respect Andrew and his teaching and I've learned so much from him. I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for his teaching, the word. And I kind of thought, if Andrew Womack doesn't even attempt an explanation, but just says, God is love, where do I go with this? And I think that's just a statement. I'm going to call this series, God is Love. But I'm not going to try and teach on that again. I'm just going to leave it with you. You meditate on it yourselves. You dive into it. You swim in it. See what the Holy Spirit's saying to you about that phrase, God is love. But you know, God can express his love. God can display his love. God can be loving. There are many characteristics of God, Andrew says. So that's what I'm going to look at over the next however many weeks. These characteristics of his love that hopefully at the end of the day will describe God is love. I'm not even going to try and attempt to answer that question again. About it, you know, it's his very nature, it's his core being, but that's just not enough to explain things. So on God is love, that's all I have. But I'm going to go on and talk about actions from his love and teach on that. Talk about the way he expresses his love to mankind, to us. Nikki made a good point on Saturday morning in communion. I kind of said on Saturday morning, I'm really, really struggling with the message, guys. I just can't explain this. And she said, yeah, well, you can't really explain it. You have to experience it. So I kind of think that's where I'm going to go with it. I'm just going to leave it with you. But I'm going to try and explain these characteristics of God. And I've got a list started. These characteristics that point to his love. Now, I think you'll find some of them are quite surprising. Hopefully, when we look at each of these characteristics, we'll gain more knowledge, gain more understanding about his love. And as a result, we will express that more. I'm going to start next week looking at how God's love is creative. I'm really excited about that. Now, I'm looking at the two creative people in the... No offence, but people that I know are kind of creative. You guys are going to love that. God's love is creative. But I had the revelation this morning, as Carol was speaking. His love's not just creative, but at the same time, it's creative and relational. So, what's the point in being like all loving, and have all this love, and be love if you've nothing to love? That's what creation is all about. It's the revelation I'm coming to just as I was sitting there. His love is creative, and at the same time, it is relational. He created us for relationship with him. How awesome is that? So we'll look at that. We'll look at his love being unconditional. It's funny, this morning, as we were driving in, we just kind of passed Elgin, and we were talking about the message. Well, it was the, what scriptures are you using today? And I had a blank for a minute. I couldn't remember what it was. And then said, oh, yeah, it's 1 John 4. And I was saying how I'm just going to introduce the topic, and then next week I'll start looking at different aspects of God's love. And like, one of them is conditional. And you know the way my brain works. Songs are starting my head when it, there's a stimulus and it starts a song. And I think it was a Dusty Springfield song I started singing in my head. It was, "Will You Still Love Me Tomorrow?" Is that Dusty Springfield?
No.
No, it's not the Beatles. The Beatles is When I'm 64. But I think it's a woman. I thought it was Dusty Springfield, but you know, it doesn't really matter. But "Will You Still Love Me?" It was an advert as well. Tomorrow. Well, you know, the answer to that, Carole King, okay. Anyway, the answer to that question for God is yes. It's like, "Will you still love me tomorrow?" Yes, because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But when I'm going to be looking at these different characteristics, I'm going to compare them to human love. And there are some people that love us, profess to love us, and like, "Will you still love me tomorrow?" Well, it depends. It's conditional. Depends on how you perform. Depends on what you do. Depends how good you are to me. Depends how bad you are to me. We'll see that these two, I don't know what they're doing. But we'll see when we look at God's love, it is not conditional. It's unconditional. So yeah, he loves me. He loves me now because I'm a believer. Yeah, he loved you when you were a heathen. He loved you before you even existed. And he'll love you for eternity. Unconditional. We'll see it as absolute. God's love is absolute. There's no levels. Doesn't he love me a wee bit a day? Love me a bit more tonight when I understand a bit more about my righteousness? He's not going to love me a little bit more in the afternoon when I go home and water the flowers. Nuns he might. But he won't, because his love is absolute, and it is consistent. Okay, I meant spoken about that already. It is loyal, it is generous. I've started looking at this Hebrew word, chesed. It can be translated in some other versions as loyal love. It's translated in our word. It's translated in the King James, our Bible. It's translated in our Bible as mercy. But there's this wonderful Hebrew word, chesed, about God's love being loyal. And that's, you know, I can think of friends that I have lost who are not loyal anymore because of things I've done or things I've not done. But his love is chesed, it's loyal, and it's generous. It is infinite. It's the same yesterday, today, forever. It's merciful. So these are all topics we'll look at in the weeks to come, about God's love, to try and express that. It is so unlike human love. We just can't compare it. You know, it's not temporary. It's not conditional. It's not dependent upon performance. It doesn't go up and down. It's not withdrawn. And I'm really quite excited about teaching this. So what's the summary? We cannot give what we do not have. We cannot share what we do not know. That is why we are now going to learn about his love, get a deeper understanding and revelation of his love. And then, I was going to say, and then hopefully, but no, because the word says it. If we get a deeper revelation of his love, we will express that love more. And in our context at the moment, that's about being compassionate. Amen.